Welcome to the Hospital Finance Podcast, your go-to source for information and insights that can help you stay ahead of the challenges impacting healthcare finance. And now, the host of the Hospital Finance Podcast, Michael Passanate.
Hi, this is Mike Passanate, and welcome back to the Hospital Finance Podcast. Today, I am joined by Kate Gillespie, who's the Associate Vice President of the Orthopedic Service Line at Virtual Hospital here in New Jersey, and Christine Gordon, who is the Manager of Reimbursement, also at Virtual Hospital in New Jersey. And we're live here at the New Jersey HFMA A&I meeting. And you may recall, if you're a longtime listener of the podcast, that about a year ago, we had the pleasure of interviewing Kate and Christine here on the program. And we talked about their involvement in Medicare's BPCI program, and they shed some great insights as to the performance of their hospital and you know, how they've been doing in that program. And they're here presenting again this year to talk about some changes that have taken place and give everyone an update on where they are. So Kate, Christine, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
I'll also mention that seated beside me is Maria Miranda, who is the Director of Emerging Payment Models here at Bessler, and she lives and breathes these models on a daily basis, so we're looking forward to a vibrant discussion. So, you know, just looking at some of the things you're talking about this year, kind of honing into some changes you've experienced since last year, you did note some challenges related to gain sharing with your physicians, and we talked about that again on last year's program, but why don't you give an update on that?
I think for the gain sharing, the alignment with the physicians has been great, but what happened was is that we have many BPCI programs have physician group awardees. You know, as a hospital system, we're an awardee, so there's a conflict sometimes with that. And one of our physicians actually then became, who was a gain sharer, became part of a group that was an awardee. So what we found was CMS, as we always know, is clear as mud. We found a conflict where the physician's cases were no longer appearing on our claims data for a couple of quarters, and then all of a sudden he appeared on our claims data, and we never got, and we still to today, have a clear message on, do we continue to gain share with him? Is he receiving funds from his awardee? And so we've pretty much not given him funds because we don't have a clear answer. So that's a part that we have, and that's something that everybody should be aware of. There are a lot of physician group awardees, and there's hospitals, and they can, you know, a physician cannot be a part of two awardees. They have to choose one. So that was a little bit, and then
a lot of it is Medicare has not given us clear definition on what needs to be included with gain sharing. So it's kind of us making our own decisions and getting the physicians to buy off on it. We have made some modifications this year that we had to get approval for. Surrounding discharge instructions and quality metrics. But Medicare has not been very, you know, helpful in regards to clear, definitive, you know, they always want to ride that line for us. And that's another one of our challenges is we've had different Medicare managers with the program. We haven't gotten clear, you know, definitions. And even with this issue that we're having with the physician, we've gone back and forth. We've had calls. We've emailed back and forth. And we still haven't gotten it resolved yet. So that is part of the challenges we have with gain sharing.
And we're hoping with BPCI Advance or 2.0, which is supposed to be announced in the next month, that there will be clearer definitions of what gain sharing. And I did hear that they will require, just like they did with CJRR, that there are some quality metrics, which we're already doing that. So we're in a good place with that. But again, hopefully there's more defined instruction around the new Advance BPCI.
Yeah, we'll talk about that more in a minute as well. You know, you've noted that you've had some great success reducing total episode spending through managing discharges. Of course, that's a double-edged sword sometimes when it gets into your target pricing, so maybe we can touch on that. But why don't you tell us about what you're doing around discharges that's been so successful?
I think one is key that we have the alignment of our physicians who definitely understand and buy into, and we've shown them very, very transparent with the cost of inpatient rehab versus skilled nurse facility versus home care. So that is pretty evident, and they're on board with us. It's getting the patient to agree to that is always a challenge for any hospital. But I think with our big group of physicians that we have, they are very proactive of setting that expectations to all our patients that our idea is for them to go home to outpatient. So we have seen a big shift in not only from inpatient rehab to skilled nurse facility, but also looking at patients that are going directly to outpatient rehab. So that has been a huge save.
Okay. And we also had a committee that actually went through our discharge policy and revamped the whole thing, so everybody's on board, you know, across the, you know, the nurses, the physicians, they go through social workers. Everybody has gone through our new discharge policy for them. So I think that has helped a lot as well for questions on, from the patients and their families going forward for their post-acute care.
And you did note also in your presentation that you've seen an increase in outpatient therapy, but a decrease in home health. So what do you think is driving that?
The patients are, there is no real reason to keep the patients home to have home care. So what we're seeing is that instead of having home care, they're going home. And then what we're doing is we're scheduling their outpatient visit right away. So there's no gap. We still do home care, but I think it's really now we've actually taken a look at it. What criteria does a patient have to meet prior to discharge to then say this is the right setting for them? And again, it's been always the same thing. When we tried to shift the patient from skilled nurse facility to home care, then home care to outpatient, we've always had to get the confidence of the patient to understand the best thing for them to do is to move around and get active.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw a curveball at you. You know, there's been a lot going on recently in terms of doing these total joint replacements at outpatient facilities, right? Yes, right. Versus inpatient. So, what's your take on that? Where's the story?
Well,
there?
We've been forecasting that for a long time. Currently at Virtual, we're actually building a new ASC to really accommodate the volume that will shift to outpatient. One of our facilities currently is doing hips and knees Medicare patients that are averaging 1.2 days. That's great, and we've actually done a paper down at CMS to say we're seeing great outcomes, and I think that's where our CMS is now saying, you know what, we could move to outpatient. For us, that may be a good thing, because right now, as a Medicare patient, we have them head in the bed so they can stay the 23, 24 hours so that we are getting paid for Medicare, but Medicare on the back end is saying, well, we're only going to pay you a partial payment because that patient did not stay the full length of stay.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, I'm really curious to see, one, if the new BPCI will include an outpatient hip or knee, two, what they're going to do if they agree to let them be done in an ASC, and what is the reimbursement for that?
Yeah.
Because that's huge for a hospital. Yeah. Right now we know that in 2019, there'll be a big shift of volume to an ASC, which is going to cut the hospital's revenue in half. Even though we're joint partners with that, we're not going to see the revenue. So we have to prepare as a hospital to budget accordingly.
And will CMS adjust your target rates? Because it's their historical rates that include those lower acuity.
Exactly.
So it's going to be interesting how they go forward with, you know, BPCI 2.0 or advanced, where they're going to go with the target rates, especially for the reimbursement.
They're going to go
low. Yeah, it's going to be much lower, much lower. But that's a great question about the reimbursement. But like I said, we get dinged reimbursement-wise already because we're doing them so quickly that, you know, it not, might not be a good thing, but it definitely is not going to hit us as hard, I think, as some other places.
Now, I remember in your presentation last year, you mentioned how communication was so important with the physicians and how you were actually keeping the cost of implants down, sometimes just because of a conversation that occurs between physicians. Anything else on?
We've been, actually, Virtua has been very active. We have what's called an orthopedic product committee and a spine product committee. And what we've done is worked with physicians to say, you know, what are those key providers of implants, and really try to narrow our scope. So for example, spine, we had maybe 12 vendors. We have now narrowed it down to 4. Again, that allows us to get better pricing. The same thing for joints. Basically, we've narrowed it down to 1 or 2. We get the better, they get the biggest volume, but we also get the better cost on it. So that has been really, that's internal cost, which we do not, we capture that, but truly with the target,
right,
it's the outpatient. That's where you really need to focus.
You mentioned BPCI 2.0 a minute ago, and we're here in October of 2017. It's coming. What do you anticipate? What do you think? What do you think you're going to see in that?
I talked to someone that was used to work for CMS, so she sort of gave me a little bit of scoop. There will be an opportunity to because right now at BPCI, you cannot go into another DRG or open those gates. So when they come BPCI 2.0, they will allow us to participate in other DRGs. I've also been told that there are going to be some outpatient DRGs that will be included in that. So we're going to take a look at all our services, both medical and surgical. The other thing that I've also heard is, again, they're going to take historical volume now and historical costs. We were lucky that they started 2009 to 2012. Now they may look at 2013, 2016. And because we've done so well, we're going to see a target price that's going to really drop low. And one of the advisors said, you may want to take a look at how more efficient can you be? And would you be able to meet this lower target? And our question is, I don't know. They said you may want to look at, do you want to put your efforts into total joints if you can't meet that target? So all good questions. So we're anticipating something coming out because BPCI will sunset in September 2018.
And it's funny. I mean, it's just Kate and I doing this right now. And with the opening up of the floodgates, I mean, we're going to have to, you know.
More resources.
I mean, I know a lot of people have outside companies that help them. We have an outside company that helps us with the data only. We do everything else internally, administratively. So it's definitely going to be, you know, eye-opening for, you know, organizations going forward with all the new, you know, nuances with all the new bundled programs that they're going to be out there.
Yeah, certainly the landscape of bundled payments is changing. Quite a bit. It's changed a lot this year. It will change again, probably both on the public and the private payer side, no doubt. Are you seeing, I think we asked this question last year, are you seeing anything on the private payer side with regard to joints? Are you involved in any of that at this point?
Well, that's one of my, every year we do a strategy. So our strategy, again, is to go into bundle payments, but we're also looking at, we have our own insurance product, so we're going to take that as our first step. And second, I really want to create a bundle or a product that I can go out and definitely go private, because information I've heard right now is some of the insurance companies are not quite ready to be able to do it. There are some under, I know there's a Christ Hospital that has been very successful in private bundles. So we're going to take a look at what we can do, but I definitely, that's my strategy. Now that I know I have a good product, I got to move it.
And I think a lot of them are testing them more so with the physician groups as opposed to with the hospital. And even if they negotiate with the hospital, you're still going to have that overlap where there's a case that can be initiated at the hospital and might be initiated by the physician as well. So you'll have that overlap issue.
Yes. And we have a great orthopedic physician group that is very in line with us. So I think together we could probably do some good.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Kate and Christine, congratulations with all of your success at Virtua and leading the way on this initiative. And thank you again for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
If you have a topic that you'd like us to discuss on the Hospital Finance Podcast, or if you'd like to be a guest, drop us a line at update@bessler.com.
This concludes today's episode of the Hospital Finance Podcast. For show notes and additional resources to help you protect and enhance revenue at your hospital, visit Bessler.com/podcasts. The Hospital Finance Podcast is a production of Bessler. Smart about revenue, tenacious about results.